God's guaranteed plan for you is to have all-round success. Therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi.
The first seven verses. We have titled this series, Financial Rest. Financial Rest. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 1 says, Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. The Apostle Paul, writing to a church that he founded in Corinth, says, you're a very powerful church. You're strong in so many areas. However, as you abound, as you increase, as you multiply, in the areas of faith, in utterance or speech, there's so many powerful speakers amongst you, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in fact, in your love for us, you love us so much. Please see that you abound in this grace also that the Macedonian church has. So in verse 1, he says, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, in verse 2, we have the two dimensions, the two proofs of this special grace on the Macedonian churches. It says that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. And we have said, we can get the keys for entering our financial rest from this verse. The first one, which we discussed 2 weeks ago, is joy. Joy. Apostle Paul says, look, these people were experiencing deep poverty. Deep poverty. He says, however, there was abundance of joy. In the Macedonian church, there was a... If you went to this church, there's no way you would have known that some of them did not eat before coming to church in the morning. There's no way you would have known that some of them did not know what they were going to eat after they left church. There's no way you would have known that some of them did not have taxi fare that would take them back home. There's no way you would have known that some of them did not even have offering to put in the offering bucket. There's no way you would have known that some of them were wearing secondhand clothes. And then in fact, some of them were under the threat of being evicted from their apartments. That you would not have known. Because the Macedonian church was a church that was full of joy. We said that the number one key. If you will break the backbone of poverty and lack, you must learn to operate in joy. Abundance of joy. Well, the cassette is there. Please get the tape so you can get a good handle on that. But this morning I want us to discuss on the second dimension. And the second dimension is that their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. If we will enter financial rest, we must receive the grace for liberality. That is, developing the kind of an attitude that desires to give more than it desires to receive. Developing the kind of an attitude that desires more to give than it does to receive. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Apostle Paul was quoting Christ. He says that Christ himself said that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, most people don't give because they give their poverty as an excuse. Most people don't give because, according to them, they don't have. That's why they don't give. But the real truth is this. It is not because they don't give that they don't have. It is not because they don't have that they don't give. It is because they don't give, that's why they don't have. He says, because I don't have, that's why I don't give. But sorry, it's because you don't give, that's why you don't have. That's the way it works. This church was not only just experiencing poverty, they said they were in deep poverty. Poverty can be deep. There are different grades of it. Poverty can be deep. I mean, when you get to the point where you don't even know where the next meal is coming from, that is deep poverty. Can't pay your children's school fees. When lack becomes a source of serious frustration in life, deep poverty. Deep poverty. When you have to wear the same dress and mend it and mend it and mend it and mend it until the tailor tells you to allow the soul of the dress to rest in peace. That is deep. When you wear a shoe to the point where it has to be sent to the mortuary, that is deep poverty. This church, they said they were in deep poverty. However, that their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. The experience of this church just cut the ground from under those who give excuse for not giving in the church. You know what? If we'll come down to the real truth, there is nobody who doesn't have something to give. He said, Lord, we thank you for that which you have provided. We ask that you give to those who have not to give. Ah. For as long as you make them believe that they don't have to give, the spirit of poverty will not leave them. Everybody has something to give. If a church that was in deep poverty was still giving, then everybody has something to give. I should say this because I've been through it. You don't break free from the spirit of poverty and mediocrity with a casual approach. For as long as they are pampering you and encouraging you not to give, whoever is doing that is not helping you. Some people don't pay tithe because according to them, God himself understands that the money is not enough. But please always remember that if you don't pay tithe, things will remain tight. He said in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, he said, those who don't pay tithe, he said, they are cursed with a curse. It's only if you want to remain under the curse of poverty that you will not pay and you'll be given all kinds of excuses. I started paying tithe as a student when I was getting allowance of 10 naira per week, and I'll pay tithe of 1 naira. I'll never forget that. But the experience I have had is that I have not had a better last year since then. I can never go back to that phase again because it works. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I've been there. I've been there where there is nothing, actually, in terms of cash, nothing in the pocket to give. I removed my wristwatch and put it in the offering bucket because you will always have something to give. Now, the interesting thing is those who say and who believe that they don't have something to give still eat. They have enough to buy food for themselves. They don't have enough to invest in their destinies. Because the plain truth, until God delivers you from this spirit of poverty, you are not going anywhere. What we give is an investment into our destinies. If you give to the poor, the Bible says you are loaning money to the Lord and God will pay you back. When you give to the poor, you are simply sealing your destiny never to go down to the level of the poor. This is the only way to rise, to be liberal, to be open-handed, to be open-hearted, to be open-minded, to be mindful of giving even more than we are of receiving. You want to break the spirit of poverty? I encourage, pray hard, work hard, and also give hard. Give hard. It takes aggressiveness to break free. The spirit of poverty that most of us are contending with, especially here in Africa, is an ancestral spirit. It was sent on special assignment by the devil. A wealthy continent, and the devil made up his mind he will keep us in poverty. It's a spirit, and it's been around for a long time, and it won't go easily. I'm serious. You know what Jesus said about those kinds of terrible demons? After they have gone, he said they will come back again. If they find the place clean, they'll go and take seven spirits that are more wicked than themselves and come back. The devil doesn't want Africa to get out of poverty easily. Give. The Macedonian church was giving. There are churches today where everybody is poor. Pastor is poor. The church members are poor. Because all of them are giving excuses. The pastor is giving excuses on the behalf of the church members. The church members are giving excuses on the behalf of themselves. We don't have. Everybody understands. This is a very poor place. They say, Pastor, this city is a hard place. I remember a pastor once told another pastor who was visiting his town. And said, look, the spirit of poverty in this city is very serious. In fact, I'm thinking of organizing a program where all the pastors in this city will come together to break the hold of that spirit. This other man of God just looked at it. If all of you men of God, and you are pastors, if all of you have to come together to break the hold of one spirit, then you have a serious problem. One demon to gather together all the men of spiritual timber and caliber. All the spiritual juggernauts in the city must come together to break the hold of one spirit of poverty. It's not true. There is nowhere that green grass doesn't grow. Nowhere where the sun does not rise in the morning. And for as long as the sun rises in the morning, the word of God can produce anywhere. Anywhere. Liberality. Being open-hearted. In verse 3, tells us how. Apostle Paul tells us how. He says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. According to their ability. Great. Then he said, beyond their ability. This church knew how to quicken its way out of poverty. Listen, the thing that gives us speed is sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. Sacrificial. Those who have the thing in abundance, they can afford to give casually. But for me that wants to rise out of lack, I can't give casually like other people. I must give aggressively. And aggressive giving is sacrificial giving. There was a woman like that in Mark chapter 12. The day Jesus sat, Jesus was wonderful. I mean, one day, he said they should put the offering bucket down, and he sat down and was looking at how much each person put there. You know, today we have wonderful people who will remind us that the Bible says that you should not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So when they carry the offering, they squeeze it. They fold their hand around it tightly. Then they dip their hand deep into the offering bucket before they release it, so that anybody will not see what they are giving. That day, Jesus said, the right hand will know today. You know, that passage is in Matthew chapter 6. And it doesn't talk about paying tithe and offering. It talks about giving alms to the poor. When you are giving to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, don't give to the poor and then go and broadcast to everybody. If not for me, the man would have died. Don't go and do that. That's what Jesus was saying. As far as paying tithe and offering, Jesus sat down that day. He said, oh yeah, everybody. And some people came and put some fat amounts of money there and walked away. One widow came. She put 2 mites in there. Jesus called disciples and said, listen, let me show you how the kingdom of God estimates its giving program. He said, that widow gave more than everybody else. He said, how? He said, listen, all those people gave out of their abundance. They gave out of surplus. But this woman took an aggressive move towards the kingdom of God. She gave everything. Sacrificial giving. You know what I learned? If what you have is not enough to be a harvest, turn it into a seed. It's not enough in the first place. It's not. It's not even enough to buy you a meal. Put it in the offering bucket. That was what Elijah told the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. Woman, you've been eating this thing alone until you are down to the last cup. Don't die. Don't kill yourself with stinginess. Don't kill yourself. Go and make food for me. Woman said, eh? Shebi, you said you are a prophet. Say, yes. Why don't you pray for me that the thing should multiply first? Elijah, I won't pray for you because we can't break this principle. It's when you give that you will receive. Woman, go and bake the bread for me first. I must help you. The prophet must have been saying, I must deliver you from yourself. Elijah said, bring it. The woman said, no, you want to kill me. I told you it's the last card. Elijah, bring it. You know, that's the problem we have around here now. People don't like Pentecostal pastors. Because we have discovered powerful truths in the Bible, and we are bold enough to say it. The Archbishop Benson Idahosa was in Kenya some years ago, several years back. He ministered to the people and took an offering. And he already knew that those people were not going to give very well that day. So as soon as they took the offering, he said, help me to count it now. Yes, if Jesus sat over the treasury, it's not too bad. It's not too much out of place. Count it now. They counted the whole thing. It was about $300. He just took it and threw it out of the window. And that's the kind of a person he is. That's his character. I mean, I can't do that kind of a thing, but... Hallelujah. He didn't do it because he hated the people. He did it because he hated the spirit of poverty hanging onto their minds. And he had to shock them out of their poverty. He took it and threw it out. He said, you people, they told you you are poor. You have accepted it. That's why you are giving stupid offering like this. And the missionaries came. They said, you are poor. They brought food. They brought clothes. You are wearing second-hand clothes. You accepted. You are not poor. Now, all of you, I'm going to take offering again. Bring out your purse. The place where you are hiding the money, bring it out. We are going to give to the Lord. That's the only way you will break free from your poverty. He took the offering. You know how much it was? $4,000. They didn't go home to bring it home. $4,000 inside the service. He had to deliver them from themselves. Stinginess and selfishness. Don't let anybody deceive you. There's nobody who doesn't have something to give. There's only someone who is looking for excuses not to give. There's nobody who doesn't have anything to give. If you don't have cash, give material things. If I desire to give 20,000 and I don't have cash, I carry my TV and put it down. That has been the style. Not because one is crazy. It's just because that is the quickest way to take a race away from poverty and run towards abundance and to enter your financial rest. That is the quickest means. I want to give 400,000. I don't have the cash down. I have a car. Put it down. If I didn't do it, I won't ask you to do it. I don't even ask you to do it because of the church or because of God. God will never have a problem. Amen. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand. He said, and if I'm hungry, I won't tell you. Because you can't supply my food anyway. Amen. Some of the people who fight pastors who collect their tithes most are the ones who give small amounts of money. We don't even know what they are doing with our money. And it's 50 naira I put there. Liberality. 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 The Macedonian church did not give any excuses at all. It was given. He said it gave according to their ability. In fact, he said beyond their ability, they gave. And he said they were freely willing. Hey! They gave excitedly. They didn't have to be compelled to give. May that grace come upon our church. He said, we want to buy this. Or we want to do this now. Some people, their faces will just squeeze. It's not deliberate, though. It's just the stinginess that is still there, locking somewhere. And it's like, this pastor wants to disturb me again. He's going to hurt me now. Eh? This pastor, oh. And that's the aspect of the service they don't want. And with their faces, they are telling the pastor, you know, we have sign language. Some of us did it when we were in school. When you are tired of a lecturer, you pull the desk. Just telling the lecturer, it's time to go home. Leave us alone. Ah, after 2 hours of lectures, it's not enough. And there are some people who use sign language for the pastor like that. Some, they will have been saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord, during the praise and worship, they will just, as soon as you say, it's time to give. We want to raise this particular person for this thing. The kind of silence that you think some angels just came in. Eh? The Lord is in his holy temple. Let the whole heart keep quiet. One spirit of mourning and grief will just come upon the atmosphere because the selfishness and stinginess is still there. If you want to know that the spirit of poverty has gone, check your account and the rate at which you give. Check that there was no spirit of poverty that could have hung on to this church. They gave and they gave willingly. They did not give under pressure. And you know, I should be very open about this. Sometimes we have raised funds in church for certain projects, and only a few people will respond. And then afterwards, someone comes and gives me the advice. Why don't you call some people together and talk to them personally about this thing? Describe the state of things and ask them to give. And I said, till tomorrow, it's my decision. Daystar is not the church where after I have spoken in church, I will beg anybody else personally. It's not right. After I have spoken in church, if you have to give it, don't expect to be pressurized because we have decided this is a church where nobody will come under pressure to give. Give with peace of mind. Give willingly. Give with rest. Give with rest. These people were giving and they were excited. They were not mourning. Eh? And nobody had to compel. They gave no pressure at all. When we bring, you know, some pastors would even bring in a guest speaker and ask the guest speaker, help me to raise money. I've not done that here, and we are not going to do it. You see, the money I can't talk to you personally to raise for a project, nobody should come and help me to do it. If I can't talk to you as the father of the house, nobody should come and help me to talk to my sons. Am I right? No, nobody should come and help me to rule my house. Nobody should come and help me to run my house. I've decided on that. And some of these guest speakers comes and by the time they look at your face and they see the very powerful suit we are wearing, they think you have 100,000 in the account and you don't have. They just say, Rebra Atrede, you, with your fine suit and tie. They call you out. They said, the Lord told me that the five of you should give 100,000 naira each.
If anybody does that here, and I know you don't have 100, after the service I'll come and tell you, don't give anything, because you can't give what you don't have. Amen. It's the truth. Amen. They don't know you. I know you. Amen. Nobody should be under pressure to give. But because this grace was operating in abundance in the Macedonian church, everybody was giving willingly, freely, willingly, not reluctantly. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Don't let your amen go down this morning, or else I won't finish the sermon on time. Hallelujah. You know what I found out? Liberality is not a function of volume. It's a function of attitude. It's not volume. It's just attitude. Just attitude. I love to give. I've decided, even with my material, especially with the material things that I own, I don't want to be the last person to use anything. Use a suit until the thing becomes a write-off. As if it had an accident. No, use a shoe until it becomes the last one. It's not the best. Don't be on the receiving end, be on the giving end. It's better. It's better to be on the giving end than to be on the receiving end. It's common practice in our house. I have a bank for the ties and shoes and shirts and suits that are going out. And sometimes, even when I've forgotten, it's my wife that will run through the wardrobe and just be picking them like that. And some I scream, ah! Leave that one. Hallelujah. I'm not asking you to go and ransack your husband's wardrobe because the man catches you by the neck. Don't mention my name. Amen. Give the thing out with permission. But it's the style. It's a commonplace thing in the house. I won't be not at this phase. You be the last person to use any item. Let it flow. Don't be a dam. Let it flow. Don't become the Dead Sea. The testimony about the Dead Sea is that it takes from other rivers, but it never flows out to anywhere. That's why the sea is dead. There is no fish that can survive there. All of them die. Too much concentration of chemicals. Some people don't know. They are financially sick. You know, when you go to the toilet, you have to release faces to the size of what you took in. Am I right? By the time an elephant begins to toilet to the same size as a rat, the elephant will have stomachache. Am I right? There are some people who have financial stomachache. Because what is coming out from them and flowing from them is too small compared to the proportion of what is flowing towards them. Give everything. Give foodstuff from your house. Give foodstuff. The foodstuff we give out the most in our house is rice. Because that's what the man of the house likes best. But interestingly, that is the one thing we don't use money to buy. It flows. Hey! It flows. This week we had abundance. Flows. So my wife was already thinking, we'll send one to here, we'll send one to there, we'll send one. This morning I went somewhere, I just came to church, and then they told me there's a bag of rice in the bowl. I said, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press down, shake it. Listen, however terrible you think your case may be, your own is better than that of somebody. And the thing you are thinking you should not give out, I'm serious. It is somebody else's breakthrough. It's somebody else's breakthrough. The amount of money you think is not enough is somebody else's breakthrough. Give out the tithe. Here, some people come to the church and they sit down and say, yeah, I don't know what kind of church that church is. You know, since I've been going for 6 months, nobody has given me 50 naira. So how many people have you given 5 naira? Don't be on the receiving end. Be on the giving hand. Be on the giving hand. It's much, much better. There was the spirit of liberality. If you don't give when you have little, you won't give when you have much. I promise you that, because it's a spirit. It's a spirit. In verse 4, it says, and this is the exciting part. Verse 4. Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Isn't that serious?
This church should have asked Apostle Paul, please, when you go to the church in Jerusalem, tell them to send offering to us. No. Macedonian church said, Apostle Paul, take offering, give the Jerusalem church. And Apostle Paul said, they were imploring us. They were, you must take it. Apostle Paul said, I know the situation of this church now. No, no, leave it. They said, no, if you don't get it, you won't go. You must take it. You know there are a few people like that. He said, no, you must take. He said, no, I don't. No, you must take. Okay, I don't want to eat now. Okay, we'll pack it for you. Amen. Imploring us with much urgency. Take it. Apostle Paul said, my bag is full. They said, we will help you to rearrange it. It must be able to contain more. Amen. Imploring us with much urgency. Take it. It is more blessed if we will enter our financial rest. Some people are out to get, by all means. They are out to get. That sound bad. Mua in Yoruba means bring it. Bring it, bring it. Ba means take. So their own doors don't sound ba. It's only mua, mua, mua all the time. Out to get. We must break free from the spirit of covetousness. The spirit that wants to get, acquire, get, is a bad spirit. Covetous spirit, a selfish spirit. Get. So even when they find something good around you, their eyes will enter it and say, where did you get this chain from? I say, I bought it. Say, it's very fine, you know? Say, thank you. After 2 minutes, I really like this, your chain. Where did you say you bought it from anyway? It's very good. The thing is just shining, just attractive. This chain. Very good chain. And all they are doing is they want to pressurize you till you say, do you like it? Yes. Say, okay, take. Take. Hey! They appreciate the thing to the point where I feel uncomfortable putting it on when you are around. Said they were imploring us with urgency. Take! There are churches that are out to take. There are many young churches and young ministries, and they have big problems with large ministries. They have big problems with large. Those big ministries, I don't know why they are not helping the young ministries. They are not supporting the young ministries. Eh? Somebody asked a powerful question at the seminar. He said, what are the big churches doing about the small churches? I said, what are they supposed to do? So, in the first place, you need to know that the big churches were once small churches. They were once small. But God gave them the wisdom to know how to grow to become big. That's the point. I have never asked any other ministry for money to run this place. And I'll tell you, we started wrong. I'd pastored the church before that God had blessed right in this city. And I had to let go of everything when God gave the instruction that it was time to move out to start this church. I had to lose virtually everything. The very house I was living in was official accommodation. The bed we slept on was official bed. All the beds in the house, the curtain in the house, the AC in my room, the fridge, the cooker were church property. And I was instructed to leave everything and move. And we moved. We had to move to the outskirts of the city to get a house. Quickly bought mattress. And for a few days, myself, my wife, and our daughter slept on the mattress on the floor. I did no fridge, no cooker. And I have friends in the city. I do. That I could run to. Help us. Help us. How much do you want to give us? I did not ask a single person for a dime. Because begging makes you to lose your dignity. If God can't help me, then let people leave me alone. But I have made up my mind. I used to be on the receiving end before. I'm not going back there. I want to be on the giving end. I want to be on the giving end. We started raw. Took off raw. Now, as small as we were and as little as the income was when we started, we were giving. When any single time would go to visit my mentor, would take a check. Small check, so 2,000 naira, 2,005, 5,000 naira. It was sacrificial then to dry check of 5,000 naira with prayer that the offering will have entered the account before the check gets there. You know, someone heard of how God is blessing us now and said, come on, I'm very sure that he was very sure that my mentor must be giving me a lot of money now. And I said, forget it. Never. Never. We have never asked him for a kobo. And it took a long time. And now God has moved him a few times and he has sent us checks. But we don't go. But you know what I find out? Loads and loads of pastors coming here. We are suffering. Things are really tough. We really need your help. If you are into missions, outreach ministries, I understand. It's the responsibility of the local church to sustain outreach ministries. That's my understanding of the Bible. But wherever you are starting from, you must have something to give. It's a standard policy in our finances. We don't distribute less than 10% of the income of this church. It's not written anywhere in the Bible that a church must pay tithe, but we don't give less than 10%. In fact, sometimes the Spirit really comes on us and we give. If you were managing our account, sometimes you'll be afraid. We give. But I've noticed that about all the blessed churches around, they give. When we invite speakers to come and speak here, a whole lot of the time, you know, if they come, we should give them honorarium. They are the ones that bring checks first. That's how it works. I went to preach in a church. And apart from the fat check they gave me, personally, for taking you away from your church, check of 100,000 for your church. Liberality. Somebody is getting deliverance here today. It's not because you don't have that you are not giving. You are just looking for excuses. There's nobody who doesn't have something to give. Remove your tie. Remove your chain. Remove the panda on your neck. Put it in the offering. To tell God, I can't come here and say I don't have. It's not true. I have something to give. Now, there are those who come to church. Instead of putting down offering, they steal other people's offering. I'm serious. They pick pockets. Listen. When you come to church and you have not learned, part of the places where the stinginess shows is if you can't even buy a Bible for yourself. I'm serious. This Gideon's Bible they distribute is for unbelievers. People in the bush who have never heard the gospel before. Not for people born again inside the church. Small Gideon's Bible. The Bible is a double-edged sword. That one is only New Testament and Psalms. It's one-edged sword or blade for that matter. If you are born again, someone says, please, can you give us a Bible? I can't give you a Bible. Go and buy one. Invest in your destiny. That's the most powerful book that will turn your destiny around. Buy it for yourself. Invest in your destiny if it's that important to you. But you know the interesting thing? Some people come to church and they steal other people's Bible. Yeah, your journey is still very long. See, you are stealing Bible inside the church. Your journey is very... You are even looking for something to see. You didn't see something. It's Bible you are stealing. I just pray that when you open the Bible, you will see a verse there that will change your life. You are stealing Bible. I'm serious. When some people come, sit down in a church like this, if you have the spirit of liberality, the next thing you'll do is look, how can we improve on this place? Someone was speaking to me a few weeks ago, said, Pastor Sam, we must put AC in this church this year. We must put AC. In fact, we are going to put it. By God's grace, we are going to put AC. If he has the money, I know he'll put it down. If liberal heart. Liberal heart. And then he said to me, said, as I sat down a few weeks ago, I was looking at the altar. He said, I thank God for that altar and the red rug that is on it. He said, well, I'm already talking to my friend. We'll change it to marble. He will get it. I'm serious. He will get it. Some people are not like that. When they sit down, look and say, hey, rich people are in this church. There are some people, immediately after every service, they go on campaign. Once they see you bring BMW or you bring V-boot or you campaign, you go on campaign from car to car. I'm very sorry. My children have not gotten food to me. Please, can you help me? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him walk the rather with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that has not. Stop stealing. It's better to give. Nigeria's situation is no excuse for you to steal, not even inside the church especially. It's better for you to give. Have a change of heart. That spirit of poverty will not leave you easy until you turn around and you come on the giving end. Hallelujah. Let me read the remaining verses and tie it up there. And I'll just stop there for today. From verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Now listen. Your greatest enemy on the way to abundance and financial rest is self. Until you can give self, you can't give anything else. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Self. Self. The thing that makes us to put ourselves first, even before God, before God's kingdom, before God's work. The thing that makes us put ourselves first before other people, that's the thing that attracts the spirit of poverty and lack. It says, again in verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. You know the way I like to describe it? I've already put myself inside the offering bucket, so there's nothing else I have. God in heaven knows that there is nothing I have that he cannot collect any time T. Any time T. And then to us. Verse 6. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. Verse 7. But as you are bound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you are bound in this grace also. This month marks the end of every form of lack. Amen. When you are down to what they say is the last card, give. Stop looking for who to collect from. Look for who to bless. Give foodstuff. Give clothes. Give a smile. Just give. Give to your parents. The children of rich people usually find it difficult to rise because the wealth of their parents will usually confuse them. At the age of 30, they are still receiving. It's not the best way to grow. At 30, they are still receiving. Looking up, looking up, looking up to get. But God showed me. I was reading Hebrews 7. And he showed me how people who are on the lower scale should give to those on the higher level. Because he says in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7, for without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So I found out what I need from the person who has risen higher than myself is not what they have. What I need is the grace of God upon their lives that is attracting that wealth. If my parents are rich, I'll still give to them.
so that I can rise to where they are. Honor your parents in the law. That is the first commandment with a promise. It says that you may live long and live a good life in this life. Some people's lives are cut short because of their attitudes to their parents. Don't be stingy. These people made some investment somewhere along the line. Let's give. Let's give. Hallelujah. Let's give. The spirit of liberality and abundance. We receive this grace on our church. In the service, open your eyes. You'll be shocked that the person sitting next to you, it's when you look closely that you will notice the person has some color riots on. And given that most people love to sit on the same seat every Sunday, if you look very closely, you will realize the person is wearing the same dress every Sunday. Give. When we are out to get, our eyes will be blinded to the needs of people around us. When we are out to give, we'll be surprised at how much people around us really need. There was a time I was in so much need, I refused to ask anybody. Someone in the fellowship walked up to me and said, "Listen, you young guys, we know you are in need. Why don't you talk to us so that we can help you?" I said, "Thank you. I'm not going to beg anybody. I've read it in the Bible. I'll pay my tithe. I'll give my offering. Just, I may not get all the money in the world, but whatever I need, just when I need it, my God shall supply." Philippians 4:19, all of us quote it. But you know what? The Philippian church was actually the Macedonian church that we've been talking about. And if you read down from verse 14 of Philippians 4, Apostle Paul was writing these Macedonian people. "You know now, when I left you, nobody ministered to me the way you have done. Out of this deep poverty, you were still sending." He said, "You sent to me again and again." Ah! He said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And upon everyone whose heart is open here this morning and who has decided to go on this journey with God, where we will never give an excuse that we don't have anymore, and where we don't keep the larger part of everything to ourselves, but we're ready and willing freely to distribute, I pray that prayer. "My God, Jehovah Jireh, the one that sent me, will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Rise up to your feet with me. Let's thank him. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your lifestyle will shock some people around you very soon. They will at first be shocked at the way you give. And they will think you are crazy. But very soon they will become shocked at the way you are receiving. Say amen with me. Amen. Because I've given and some people have been shocked. The only TV and video in the house, shocked. But then by the time God does it, then they are shocked the second time. Because he who gives sparingly will reap sparingly. But he who gives bountifully will reap also bountifully. I see a new you. I said, I see a new you. I see you as the new definition of blessing and supernatural breakthrough on the face of Africa. I see you telling a new story in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word that's come to us today. I ask, Lord, anoint these words. Cause them to come alive in our hearts over and over and over again. As we step into this new week, let the heavens open over our lives. As our hearts and our hands open, as our pulses open towards you and towards the people around us, thank you, because the warehouse of heaven is also open. And this week, people will encounter blessings they did not calculate for at all. I prophesy that this week is the week of shocking surprises. This is the week when doors that have been closed for years will suddenly open. This is the week when God will bring blessings from unexpected sources. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, take the glory, because I know you will honor this word. Thank you. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name. Someone say with me, amen. Amen. Let's be seated. God bless you.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed. For additional tapes, CDs, and books, please contact us through the address on this CD. God bless you.